Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Better against Randolph into the top corner it goes, and Denmark have scored five, and we are getting the mother of all beatings in one of the biggest games supposedly in Irish soccer history.
Yeah, that was the ultimate humiliation. Nicholas Bentner for 5-1. So Brian Kerr has joined us on the line. Brian, there's loads of specifics to get into and where blame lies, or maybe there's not blame to attribute here. It's just we are where we are. Sum up the game for us last night, first of all.
Well, I think from the beginning there was a surprise to some degree at the lineup, but more so that the shape of the team with the diamond in the middle of the field, with Jeff Hendricks at the top of the diamond and James McLean as part of the front two. We've seen Martin use the diamond before, not particularly successfully, and he's usually had to change it during the game. But the fact that we were so open in front of our own back four, and there was so much space in the wide positions for their full backs to get forward, I think that causes big problems. And having got off to such a great start, it looked good. Although even in the early moments of the match, I thought Denmark looked more settled, and the clarity about as the game went on. I know Martin claimed we could have been two up before the match scored. The truth was that Denmark had three very good chances before we got our two chances. Darren Randolph made very good saves from Sisto and Keast. And also Sisto had another chance that hit the top of Harry Arthur's head and went over the bar. So I didn't think that was accurate. We had two good chances, and they were from very good football, yeah, from Ireland. A lot of it we don't get too much of that these times. But it was a very good move that put James McLean in the build up across the back. But I always felt that Denmark were likely to open us up and score goals. We looked too open once we moved away from that 4-5-1, which it was in Copenhagen. And then the second half, the changes were too dramatic at half time. We opened it up too early. I know we had to get two goals, but if you get one goal with 10 minutes to go, you're still enough time to get a second goal. We opened up too much in bringing Wesley and Aidan McGeady on. And, you know, the changes were remarkable in that David Moyler went from being a kind of a sub who got used sometimes to becoming a player in the team, to becoming captain in a very short space of time, to becoming a player that got hooked off at half time last night. It's all a bit dramatic that he was good enough to be captain before the match, but then he's the first player hooked off at half time, and Harry Arthur is off at half time as well. I know they needed a change at half time, but it was too drastic, and it didn't work. It left us even more exposed. Jeff Hendrick, who for me has had a poor qualification tournament, was out of position, out of play, and I'm not really sure which position he's suited to in the middle of the field at all, because he's not suited to the position at the top of the diamond, and neither is he suited to be the holding player. Mm. He doesn't have the discipline for that, and he was badly exposed. Afterwards, he was dragged away from that holding protection position, and Eriksen just ran amok from then on and took advantage of the space he was given. Also, the further mistakes from Stephen Ward, and other goals seemed almost inevitable.
Randolph was
running amok.
I just want to play on the diamond situation then, because that's a fairly fundamental decision that O'Neill had to make pre-game. So here's Gary Breen, who was on Off the Ball AM this morning, was really, really good, talked about a number of issues. Here's a quick clip of what Breen made of the diamond formation.
In terms of being exposed in the diamond, Olsen did it to us in the Euros in the second half, where James McCarthy's lack of fitness going into the tournament was exposed. He couldn't get out of there quick enough. I think Kolarov did it to us as well, where John Waters, who puts an unbelievable shift, there's not many players as good as him, but he's a forward player. He don't stay with a runner. They score. And you're just looking at it and thinking, I've no doubt that the Denmark management team have looked at that and said, listen, there's a vulnerability about this Irish team. Yes, we're strong centrally because we pack it in sheer numbers. It's not a case of we've got incredible defenders. We just load the area and make ourselves difficult to beat. To have that type of system, you've got to work on it. There's got to be release passes where suddenly the ball goes to a certain position, boys release themselves from their disciplined defensive structure and then go and engage. Kenny talked about going and putting a bit more pressure on their centre-halves, and I agree with him. And people say, well, listen, you have to play two up front. You don't have to do that. You just play that five in midfield, and one guy will know when he goes, and they'll adjust behind him the rest of them. But I think you're right. I know it's right. It's the responsibility of the manager and the coaching team. And people can argue that when you go along with the international team, you don't get enough time to work on it. You do.
The one thing I maybe wanted to ask you, Brian, was your point. I read your piece in the Indo yesterday. Was you said in the first paragraph, it was, we cannot leave anything to chance. In relation to that diamond shape that we used and the positional, the position that Jeff Hendrick played in that diamond, again, he doesn't look suited, certainly doesn't look suited to a number 10 position. He doesn't look to me like he's very good with his back to play. That's maybe needed more so in that position. You're going to have a different sort of angle of approach. But just in relation to that, what you said in that, Brian, then what was the reasoning then, do you think, with going with that shape, given that it hasn't necessarily worked when we have actually played that diamond before?
Well, I don't know why he's gone for that. I mean, he used it against Moldova where Wesley was involved and we were able to control the game in the first hour of the game and Wesley's on the pitch and we won the match. He got the handy goal early on in the set piece with Morphy and the long throw in. Why did we go that road last night and why did I say we couldn't leave it to chance? Because I think too many times in the group it's been left to chance with the late selections, the late information and passed on to the players, which obviously affects what happens with the set pieces, which affects who knows who's marking and what their individual responsibilities are at every throw-in, every corner kick, every free kick. As you know, Kevin, everybody should know those things yeah. in advance of the match. Well, you can't give all that information if the announcement of the team is left as late as it appears to be from what we gather. And that's what I mean about not leaving to chance. If you're changing the system from a system of 4-5-1, which worked on Saturday, to a system that you're going to last night, which is back into a diamond again, with different personnel than played the diamond the last time because Hendricks wasn't involved the last time out. If the personnel are different and you're going to change it. But then it's going to be work on the training ground. But there was only one day to do the work on the training ground. That was Monday, right? Because Sunday was a travel and recovery day. The match was Tuesday. So there was one day. Gary said you don't have enough time. Well, you do have time, but it's only one day, and the session needs to be very specific. The session needs to be prioritised on what's the big priority in the match.
Yeah.
And for me,
yeah,
the biggest priority is if you're changing the shape of the team and the responsibilities of the players in the midfield area and the front area, that's the work that needs to be done, followed up by some specific set piece work. And our lack of organisation on the set piece, and I know it's a tricky one, and you would agree, again, Kevin, if you want to put players on the post, for instance, and if the opposition are going for a short corner and they've two out, it can be tricky to get that one right because you've sent two out to mark two. One of them who was a taker of the corner, you couldn't mark if he's going to put it into the box. You don't have to mark him in the first place. But when you have to send two out, you're losing the man straight away. You're actually losing two players against, I know it's against two, but it's against one, given that the taker always has to take it anyway. But then if you release fellas off the post, you leave yourself a bit scarce. But there wasn't any organisation, unless that's specified. And we had this problem against Scotland when they scored a goal in Scotland a couple of years ago, where it wasn't sorted. Stephen Quinn just came on as substitute. We were all over the place in the near post area. Aidan McGeady was on the post. He was late coming off the post. The ball was curled into the corner where he had left it, and so on. But it's that type of specific information and practice that needs to be done. And that's what I meant by saying nothing should be left to chance. And there was too much left to chance.
You know, it's funny, Brian, the result in Cardiff in particular and a few others where lots of us might be looking on and thinking, God, is this really it? Is this the sum total of our ambition? You kind of have to shut up when the results are going well and going your way. But instinctively, it just seems outdated and wrong that the manager would not be working on details with the player. I mean, if nothing else, work on details with the players around these big games. It's just, and naming the team later, like, none of that just sounds right. And you feel like a night like last night is where that comes home to roost.
Well, I've felt, I suppose, slightly awkward about that in pointing out some of these things that I thought were incorrect. But if you feel honestly that it isn't, well, then we have a right to say it. And we have it, if you're coming from a background of experience in the game, of experience in the job, but then you're entitled to have that opinion. Well, you also have to look at Martin has been his successes through the years, and he's not slow to point it out either. I mean, he mentioned cups he's won last night as a player and as a manager. They're a while ago now, but anyway, he has mentioned them. I mean, he mentioned some strange things when he's getting criticism. I mean, he mentioned the increase in the season tickets been sold and a justification for a new contract. I thought that was kind of mad stuff, but I think we're entitled to pick out things and the unorthodoxy of the approach, which seems to have worked for him in the past. I think Gary might have been a bit harsh on the corners thing, because I can't remember us conceding another goal on a corner in this group. I do remember the Scotland one with the one, the short corner with Maloney and Scott Brown and Anya, I think, was involved in it as well. And Brown played the ball back to Maloney. Maloney he was on his own and he got the shot away. Well, we were caught without getting two out of the corner. That's right. But I agree with him in that the finer details of those things have to be worked out on the training ground and in the dressing room and specified to the subs. Like another one I see, which always disappoints me, is teams leaving the subs out at half time and not hearing the information that the manager wants to tell people at half time about the problems that there are in the game. And then when they come on as substitutes, they don't really know what their roles are. But
you can do that when they're warming up or 5 minutes before. Some other points to pick up on. Okay, so the details, that is a big concern with the management group. Kev,
but we don't know, though, Joe.
It's a concern. I appreciate we don't know. Yeah, we don't know
for sure, other than little bits that players have done us and people who played for Martin in the past. And I've been sitting with Kevin, with Neil Lennon and other people, and Richard, and so on. And you're getting bits, and it appears there doesn't seem to be any great emphasis in what's done in the build up, in the training, in the preparation, the analysis. And in specifying roles in terms of when we actually pick the team and when you go out to play. And you can't afford to have it, Joe, that it's so... I mean, Trump, I'd say it was the other way. I mean, Kevin played for him, that it was so clear and ingrained that there wasn't an awful lot of... Let me make a decision when I have the ball myself.
Yeah, certainly from an attacking point.
Decisions need to be made in advance.
Yeah. So,
that's the other way. But I think that there has to be clarity about options and responsibilities. And also, I mean, one of the biggest problems I have is about the goalkeeper gets the ball and what does he do? I watched the match again very carefully in Copenhagen, and not once in the match did he kick the ball any distance shorter than 60 yards in the game.
Yeah.
So every restart we have from the goalkeeper travels 60, 70 yards up the pitch, and it's a scrap between Murphy and the defenders, or James McLean and the defenders, and of course second one. Every throw-in went down the line towards Murphy on both sides of the pitch. It was one short throw. Every free kick was kicked long from deep in our own defence, up to the halfway line, inside their half, wherever it was from, it was kicked long up to the edge of the game. There was no variation. There was no improvisation whatsoever in that type of game.
Yeah, no, except that. It did seem like last night we did try to play, though, and there was a different attitude. I have to take a very short break, Brian. We're going to pick up the conversation on that point next.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Welcome, Max. So Brian Kerr is still with us. Brian, just before the break, you were making the point that in Copenhagen we didn't try and play at all. So we moved that on to last night, and we certainly did attempt to play football right across the pitch, and there were mistakes aplenty. The midfielders booting the ball long or giving the ball away, maybe more to the point. Ward with mistakes, Christie with plenty of mistakes. So you can actually argue O'Neill's negative approach generally is absolved by last night's evidence when the team were encouraged to play and get on the ball and didn't do it very well.
You can't change from black to white after 2 days when you've had black for 9 games in a row in the group, other than when Wesley played. Wesley brought a bit of order and a bit of structure and a bit of intent to it in the opposition's half of the pitch. And everybody kind of played off that. Christie got involved. Ward got involved. The midfield players then knew, now we play some passes. I don't understand why they don't do it when he didn't play. But we were in Copenhagen. There was no intent whatsoever to pass the ball to anyone on the Irish team.
Sure.
Other than you kick it up the pitch.
Let me
and then we go to the opposite.
The opposite. Okay. Well, look, I'm going to come back to you and tease that out because the opposite. So, for the third goal last night, which was the left-footed curler from Eriksen, that started with Schmeichel took a free kick. It wasn't a great free kick. Took a free kick from Brady. Brilliant throw out to Poulsen. 22 passes Denmark played. Most of their outfield players involved. They went across the pitch. They went in. They came back out. They went in again.
Yeah.
Worked the ball to Eriksen. Fair enough, we mightn't have an Eriksen to finish off a shot so beautifully as, or a chat an opportunity so beautifully as they do. Eriksen can make a difference. But, Kev, I put it to you, when was the last time we put 22 passes together?
Yeah, that's fair.
They are technically superior to us.
I think.
And Martin O'Neill does not have a striker to play with. And he is compensating for some major deficiencies in Irish football. And we need to cut him some slack here. And I'll throw one last point in on that.
Yeah.
It ties in with that. Look at the goal we gave away, the Stephen Ward mistake. That's twice in about the space of 5 minutes. Ward, who's a great guy, we love having him on the show. He overplayed it. He lost the ball. Didn't have the... You didn't see a Danish player making mistakes like that. Equally, Christie, great effort. He's as likely to miscontrol a ball as control it. So if you're O'Neill and you're compensating for all these issues, no striker, the lack of technique, some of these fullbacks not brilliant on the ball, O'Neill could turn around privately to one of us after that game and say, well, look what happens when we try and play. Like, anytime we were in possession, it was scary stuff. Like, we were about to give away the ball.
Yeah,
so
I think you touched on that last night, though, Joe. You touched on that last night, that when we did try and play, Stephen Ward was caught out. Maybe it was a basic mistake what he did. I think he delayed in giving the pass to Brady initially. He probably chose the wrong option by not then, of course. Brian would tell you that was a basic thing. As soon as it's a little pattern that you would do, certainly as a wide man, you lay it back, then you turn it, and it goes into the striker's feet. It's an easy pass. It's not necessarily going long ball. It's a clever ball played just in behind the fullback when Robbie Brady sucked the fullback in underneath.
So
him.
My point to you is maybe Martin O'Neill is seeing that mistake, or seeing the players, they have those mistakes in them, and he's saying to himself, the only way I'm getting this team seated fourth.
But that's just the wrong option, though. That's the wrong option.
Yeah, I know, but my point is he's taking the wrong option. I don't trust him. Therefore, the only way I'm getting this team seated fourth into second in the table is for us to play a bit of Route 1 and get it up the pitch in Copenhagen.
But your point being, you're trying to look at a wider issue here as saying about our development as a team, and this is a wider issue anyway, isn't it? We spoke about the age profile in the squad last night and our players retiring, and what we're going to do now with our next generation of players anyway.
What I'm saying is, and I'll bring Brian in on this, what we did in Copenhagen...
Worked.
Where we didn't look for a pass meant we didn't give away stupid goals.
Yeah, but I touched on it last night. I saw the Danish side that we saw the other night when we contained them. We could have found different ways to hurt them on Saturday even. We could have built. Look at the way we were passing the ball last night. Every single pass was behind a player. It was a straight, even across the back line at times. Brian touched on it was a great move for James McLean's chance. But look at it in general play. Every time that we're passing it across the back four, it's behind a player rather than to his feet or naturally in front of him so he can step in. And I'm talking about a basic pass across the back four.
Yeah.
Our passing last night in general, just in general, was quite poor. We were up and at them. We were showing a bit of intention to go at teams. But basic stuff wasn't great last night. That's what I would...
Yeah, come in, Brian.
Can
I
say on that? You know, if you're not doing it on a regular basis... But that's the basic premise that you walk from. You try to be a passing team. You don't have to pass it every time, and you pick the right times and the right areas to play it in. But then if you just suddenly throw it into a match, and Duffy and Clark, who both of them for the clubs are often the start of the build-up, right? Duffy for Brighton with the big fella Dunks, is it? That's the lad plays with him at Brighton. Dunk. Yeah. They're often the starty, uppy players for Brighton. The build-up starts from down. They play into midfield into Stevens or out to the wingers. Sometimes he's shipping directly to the wingers. Duffy, no problem with the distribution, the passing across the back with Brighton. Mm. No problem with Clark either, with his team. No problem with Brady, with his club. When they play through the middle of Hendricks or Ward, when they're trying to build up the play. But... and Harry Arter.
Brian, I wanted to cut you in that one because there was one chance last night where Harry Arter didn't bring the ball down and Roy Keane was up in his technical area and he was having a right pop at Harry Arter. Didn't bring it down. He was in so much space. He looks so nervous across the course of the last three or four games that he's played Harry Arter. No, he's dropped.
Was that the one he booted forward?
Yeah, booted forward.
He just built
aimlessly. But he was doing that a lot on Saturday, Brian, as well.
Yeah, for sure. So he's not in a team where people are saying things like, you know, get on the ball, pass the ball, look for a green short. He's not in a team. So there is an edginess. And there's also, if they don't look comfortable, as you said, the balls were going behind people when they played them across the back four last night. But, you know, you go back to France, and why was there a fluency in the passing of France when James McCarthy was in there and we all had a bit of hope against Hendrick, Brady, Wes Hoolahan? There was a vibrancy, there was a sharpness of tempo, there was an accuracy of passing about us there. And I can't understand how we've gone back from that right through this group.
Is that nervousness, Brian? Is that nervousness then?
Well, it's nervousness and lack of intent. I don't know, really. It's hard to put a finger on it. But go to Joe's point about Denmark, and they were technically better than us, right? I made the point on Saturday, Joe McCom, as well, that the Danish team was kind of lost in the column because it was a hard point to make. When you looked at their team and where their players were playing, you know, your fellow playing, Simon Kerr playing at Seville and Larsson at Udinese, right, and Delaney playing in Germany, and Alex was playing the Spurs, and Gallant at Brentford, and Sisto was in Spain, right? Now, you look at them and say, it's a great variation and a great education for them in playing in those different types of teams. I think that gave them a little bit of an edge. But equally on
But we've
paper,
always had that though, Brian, haven't we? We've always played against sides that have played against... that have played
but
across Europe.
Not necessarily great players. I thought Sisto was like a wind in the game.
Totally.
I thought Larsson, you know, he wanted to raid forward. But how easily would you beat the 1v1 with Christie on Saturday when he got round and made the chance to goalkeeper? I don't think Bjelland is a great player. If Brentford is his level, I don't think he's a great player. Christensen, young player, coming in at Chelsea, coming back from, he's been out and on here, there and everywhere. He looks like he's the making of a player. Delaney, Peter Bremen, enough. Keith, back playing in Copenhagen. No big deal. Good a fullback, Copenhagen as well. No big deal compared to our fellas there. But they looked technically better and more comfortable with the ball because there's an intent to play that way fairly consistently. Like, we complained about them the other night, they were a bit of a long ball team. But yet last night we're saying, oh, the outplayed was technical last night. But they were able to mix that up, and whatever the priority was, when the priority came, they were able to do it. Whereas when we change over from being the long ball team, we can't do it, and we're too open, and we're just cut open and cut apart, and there's not a consistency there to pass. And I thought it was a great move. The producer said it was 22 passes. Our little pass and move was quicker and more direct, and we got the clean in for the shot, and equally the one on the right hand side.
But they were also killing the game at that stage in a way that we couldn't dream of doing it 1-0 up.
Yeah, for sure. But that's a bigger picture, Joe, about development and players and style and underage and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, that's a longer discussion of why we have that type of player and that type of football compared to what they have. I mean, I'm suggesting here, you know, wouldn't it be nice if some of our players went to Seville and Celta Vigo and Udinese and those type of clubs compared to Remen? Brennan, rather than Burnley and Bournemouth and Blackpool and Brentford. You know what I mean? I think if the education of our players was different in the styles they play in,
yeah.
And in the intent of always being able to play ball, sometimes you've got to play it a bit longer and use Robinson and the other lad, Cornelius, with the big talk and when they bring him on, he's pouncing as he was. But they know they can play and keep that possession. And some of the stuff last night was great. It was great to watch, and it was great. I mean, it was torture for us. But as a football person, you're looking at Aitken and Don, hey, what about that? Wasn't it great to see him? The pity against him, it was against us, but he was so brilliant.
Brian, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Joe. Good to talk to you, lads. Good luck, Kev.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.